If you're at Luke chapter 1, like I am at Luke chapter 1, and if you're at, let's go to verse 47, we're on Mary's Prayer this morning is where we're at. We're on Mary's Prayer or Mary's Song, because I've titled this series of lessons, The Songs of Christmas in the Gospel of Luke, right? So we're at Mary's Song, and we finished Mary's Song, and I just wanted to do just a few things from Mary's Song that I wanted to look at. For some reason, the laser pointer's not working, but that's okay. Doesn't have to. You can look up there on your own. All right, there we go. No, that's okay. Let me try it again. No, that's all right, Brother Keith. I'll blame it on Douglas again. Okay. Some of the things we've seen from Mary's Song, she doesn't sing about herself, doesn't sing just about her baby. Mostly she sings about who? Excuse me. She sings about God the Father in her song, right? If you'll look at, well, I'm not going to read the whole song over again because some people say I repeat myself too much, and that's a valid criticism. I don't want to do that. But anyway, on a personal level, Mary says, she's talking about God the Father. In this song, she, or rather the Holy Spirit, gives some insights about the character of God. Number one, God is mindful. Look at verse 47, chapter 1, verse 47. We'll start at verse 46. That's where the song starts. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. On a personal level, Mary says that God has been mindful of her. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Why? Because verse 48, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And look at verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. He's not talking about Israel. He's talking about her on a personal level. God has been mindful of her. And I told you this last time, God could have chosen anyone to be the birth mother, should we say it like that, the birth mother of his son. God could have chosen a rich woman, a powerful woman, a queen in a castle with good health care, whatever, and or could have chosen a woman in California in a communist state with free health care. He didn't choose any of those. God chose a lowly girl with no importance whatsoever. Now, we've seen that this often happens in the Bible, and I read to you, I'm not going to ask you to turn there for lack of time, because y'all are slow turners, I'm a fast turner. Oops, I turned the wrong place, my bad. All right, chapter 1, look at verse, I'm looking at the verse. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Well, if we were looking at it, as this verse says, by the flesh, that's who we would call. I want someone wise. I want someone noble. I want someone mighty to represent me, right? The next verse. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. 1,002 times, I'll say it again, how different the gospel is in the world. How different the gospel thinks, if you want to put it like that, than the world thinks. So how the gospel presents things than the world does, right? And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why does God do this? And then Paul ends up by saying, that no flesh should glory in his presence, right? That's why God does everything. He does everything for the same reasons. He does all things for his glory. If you want to say, Brother Chris, I know why God sent Christ down. He sent Christ down to redeem lost mankind. I'll say, yeah, you're right. But ultimately, if you want to get technical, God sent Christ down for his glory, that he would get glorified. Well, Brother Chris, Christ came down to save sinners. Yes. So that God would get the glory from that. Not that we would get the glory from it, but that God would get everything he does. You say, well, Brother Chris, that sounds like he's a cosmic, some people say God's a cosmic bully because he's mean. Other people, if they listen to this, they would say, well, God's a cosmic, he pleases himself. He's just selfish, you know, whatever. And you're saying he does all things for his glory. Yeah, he does everything for his glory. Well, that sounds selfish, really. Do you want God to do things for your glory? How does that work out in a finite man? Do you think God knows what's best for us? Do you think God doesn't know that what's best for us is that all things be done for his glory? That in the end is for our good and our benefit? I mean, and it doesn't have to be. He's God anyway, right? It's as if Mary had said, and I'm paraphrasing here, "This is why my soul magnifies or glorifies God. He has taken thought of me." This is my own word, so this is the Chris Cravens Revised Version. "This is why my soul magnifies or glorifies God. He has taken thought of me." Isn't that what it said? It said that he hath regarded, verse 48, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. God has taken thought of me. He's remembered me. I may be small in the eyes of the world, but I am valuable in his. And that's what gives us value. That's what gives us worth. That's what gives us a reason to live. I heard someone say recently that I'm at work and it's bad, but I look at something my daughter gave me, and that like lets me know why I'm doing this. And I'm like, well, that's good, right? That's good that you have a reason why you're doing it. But ultimately, the only reason that matters in the whole universe why we do anything is to glorify God. Not, you say, I'm doing this for my family. That's great. I wish more people in our country would do stuff for their family, right? I wish they would work hard for their family and get a job for their family, whatever. I wish that. But that's not the ultimate. If you're a Christian, the ultimate is that you and I bring glory to God in everything we do. That's our ultimate. Because guess what? That's God's ultimate. He does everything for his own glory as well. And so we should do everything for his glory too. I'm sorry if I'm going down a rabbit trail. But anyway, let's go back. Let's look at verse 54. Are you there? In chapter 1 of Luke, I traveled over to 1 Corinthians. I'm already back there. So what are y'all? Okay, so anyway, look at verse 54. I want us to see, if you look up here, secondly, God's mindful of us. I don't have my thing. It's disturbing me a little bit. It's okay. No. It'll be good. Hey, there it is. That's crazy. You turn it to on and it works. That's crazy. I told Keith not to confuse, like make this thing simpler. I told him, like, make one of these with a big, huge on off toggle switch so that I'll know. Right, I'll do it. Make it, paint it red, and so okay. This little thing on the side, but anyway, God's mindful. He's mindful of us on a personal level, just like he was mindful of Mary on a personal level, right? But also, God is mindful of all of us, not just Mary or us on a personal. God is mindful of all of us. That's everybody. Look at verse 54. Verse 54, he hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers Abraham and to his seed forever. So now we see that God is mindful of, she's saying God was mindful of me, but God's mindful of all of Israel. But also she mentions Abraham. And why does that make a difference that she mentions Abraham after she mentioned Israel? I'll say this, because God was mindful of Abraham before Moses gave the law. God was mindful of Abraham and had Abraham's faith, we see in the book of Hebrews, Abraham's faith was counted as to him for righteousness. God's helped Israel. And one thing I was too late last night. I know I need to get to bed early, but last night, it was probably midnight anyway, I was studying. And I thought to myself, y'all may not even want to think what I'm thinking to myself at midnight. But anyway, I was thinking to myself, why was the Mosaic covenant required? You ever think that late at night? You don't? Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Because I'm thinking God made the covenant with Abraham. That was based on faith. There was no law. God didn't give Abraham the law. The Ten Commandments weren't around for... After Abraham, the Ten Commandments weren't there, correct me if I'm wrong or don't, for about 500 years. About 500 years between Abraham and the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Right? Again, Ben would know the number of years probably. But anyway, so I'm thinking to myself at midnight last night, why did he need to not do away with, because he didn't do away with the covenant with Abraham, because it's been by faith, and it's always been by faith, and it always will be by faith. Just because Moses came in with the law doesn't mean salvation's now by law. We know that, right? Read Galatians, which is what I was reading. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm going off the subject. That's what I think about at midnight, and I got up, and I'm like, I need to see what I can find about this. But anyway, I'm like, I got to get to bed. So, but the point is this. He mentions Abraham here in verse 55, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Because God's mindful of his people, not just Israel, because God was mindful of his people before they were even Israel, when they were just Abraham and his seed. Now, we all know that God chose Abraham because Abraham was a wise and holy man, correct? I caught you. Ha ha. No, you shook your head. Yes, I caught you. Ha ha. That's what you get. No, she did this. She's like, And then she's like, I need to think about this first. No, God didn't choose Abraham because is there anything wise about him, anything great about him? He was an idol worshiper. Abraham worshiped idols. Really? Oh, God, I'm going to go worship an idol so God can choose me. God didn't choose Abraham for anything good in Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? Because of his own will. He did it because he wanted to. Of his own good will, God chose Abraham. And why did God choose you? Why did God choose Laura? I think sometimes, why in the world did God choose Laura? I'm like, wow. I'm just kidding. I went a little too far there. But anyway, it sounded better in my head when I was thinking it out. But anyway, why did God choose us? Let me let you in on a little secret that you already know. It's not a secret. Nothing good that you did. You weren't wise. You were, can I say this? And I think it'll work. Don't take it too literally, but I'll say it like this. You were just like Abraham. You were an idol worshiper. Now, you may not have bent down and worshiped a pole, but you worshiped other things and they weren't God. And if you worship anything that's not God, you're worshiping an idol. So anyway, that was off the subject. Can we get on back to the subject? No, it's not off the subject. It's on the subject. Mary, as an individual, he was mindful of her, but he's mindful of a people. All right. He's mindful of Israel, but also he's mindful of everybody who was promised to Abraham. Who would Abraham bless? Look at verse 55. Brother Jonathan, read it for us, please. So who? Abraham and who? His seed. I'm sorry, who's Abraham's seed? Everybody. Okay. So especially God's chosen people, and that's the Jews, but it's us who are Christians, us who are saved. We're children, the Bible says, I think Galatians, of Abraham also. We're not children of Abraham by blood, like the Jews had it all mixed up. They said to Jesus, we've never been in bondage to anyone. We've always followed Abraham. And Jesus said, no, you haven't followed Abraham. As a matter of fact, the Romans are your rulers right now. Really? We've never had anyone over us than Abraham. They took pride. They thought, we are not lost. We're not unsaved because Abraham's our father. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't matter if your dad was saved or your mom was saved or deacons or whatever. Doesn't matter if your mom was deacon. I'm serious. It doesn't matter. Turn to Genesis 12. So God is mindful because he has a plan for his people. Who are God's people? If you're saved, you're a part of the family of God. It's not that complicated. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying it's not. There's even a song. I used to think of it as a stupid song. Maybe it's not so stupid. I don't know. Sometimes I think things are stupid because I'm stupid, right? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. I can't sing of God. I was fixing to say during Sunday school, but then some of y'all would have made a smart remark. And say, you mean every time? All right. Look at it, Genesis 12. Now the Lord, I'm sorry, verse 1. Brother Jonathan, how about you reading? 1 through 3. Who's going to be blessed through Abraham? All families. And I think I said it wisely when I said everybody. I think I said that, right? That's what it said. God is promising this to Abraham. I don't know about you, but the God I serve does not break any of his promises, right? So God calls out Abram right here, and he was, not because he was a good, like we said, holy man. He was an idol worshiper. And the same thing's true of Mary. God didn't choose Mary. And she didn't even know. She said in her song, I don't know why God chose me, but I'm glad he did, right? And so God didn't choose either one of them. God called Abram and made him a promise, one of the most important promises in the whole Bible. In verse 3, in thee shall all families. Now that means more than just the Jews. All families, I looked it up in the Greek and I studied the Masoretic text. and I cross-referenced the Masoretic, which is the Jewish text, with the Septuagint, whatever, how you say that name, brother whatever. Yeah. Septuagint. Wow, how do you know that? Wow, that's great. Not that I'm surprised too, brother. Yeah. I looked it up with the Septuagint, which we all know is a Greek, the first Greek version of the Old Testament in Greek, the Masoretic text and the whatever. Yeah, yeah. And I looked at both of those. And when it says here, all families of the earth shall be blessed, I looked it up and it says there, I know what I did there. Are you just here for the show? Sometimes I think some people are here just for the entertainment. And while that's, okay, here we go. So, Melissa can't even, she can't even look at me now. She's got to look away. All right. Yeah, you said that 5 minutes ago. All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I blame myself. And then Douglas second. I looked it up in those Septuagint, and I looked it up in the Masoretic text. All families of the earth means air body. It said that. That's the Greek translation from the Hebrew, from the Greek translation to the English. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. It's a wonder we get anything done in this class. Isaiah chapter. I know we need to keep it a little loose so you're not bored and falling asleep. But sometimes we can get like my car, a little loose sometimes. Needs to have its alignment checked. Some of y'all need your alignment checked, and me included. Look, are you there at Isaiah 9? Good. You've heard these verses many, many times. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who is this a prophecy of? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Brother Jonathan, read verse 7. So what does he say in verse 7? The increase of his government shall have no end. Upon his kingdom, he's going to establish it with justice and judgment forever, right? So he's announcing and prophesying the birth of Messiah that we celebrate at Christmas. The promise to Abraham is here, I believe, reaffirmed. So God has indeed been mindful of Mary, and in doing so, he's mindful of all of us, right? He's mindful of his people as a whole. Now the Son has been given. The prophecies and promises of God are about to be fulfilled in Luke chapter 1. God's mindful of his people. Turn back to Luke. Now, in our society, I read this somewhere. I thought, this is good. I'm going to use this in Sunday school. And no, I wasn't reading Sports Illustrated. I only take Sports Illustrated for the swimsuit issue. That was a joke. I don't take Sports Illustrated, y'all. Calm down. All right. I don't know. Whatever. If you look at Sports Illustrated, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not judging anybody. I'm saying the swimsuit issue is probably something you should throw away. But anyway, if you do take Sports Illustrated, I don't take Sports Illustrated. Although I used to, because my mom got me for a present once, got me a subscription for a year or whatever, and so my wife threw it away. So anyway, I told her I'm just interested in the articles. There's a good article about the new quarterback for the Saints. I'm interested in that. And by Saints, I mean the LSU Tigers. All right. No, I'm sorry. Anyway. Did Texas win yesterday? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. So I just wondered. They lost. Okay. It doesn't matter. They're going to playoffs anyway. So anyway. All right. Here we go. The only other fun thing at the thing yesterday, the shower, was that a couple of my relatives were watching the UT game on their phones off in the corner, so that provided some relief for the men. All right, but it was UT, so I got bored quickly. Anyway, in our society, I didn't come up with this. This is not me. It could have been. In our society, the rich, powerful, and famous people are always more isolated. You notice that? If you're rich, you live in a gated community. Right? if you're really rich and powerful, you have security to keep people away from you. You have fences, you have guards, you're removed from the masses of common people. But the Christian Bible shows us a God who is mindful of us and who shares a closeness with his people. There's no fences. There's no borders. There's no do this thing and you can get close to God. Sometimes with my wife, there's a do this thing and you can get close to her. Apologize for this thing. Or start doing this thing that you should be doing. Or stop doing this thing that gets on our nerves, right? But with God, there's none of that when we're talking about salvation, right? The Christian Bible shows us a God who is willing to be mindful of us. I just need to take a break. My COVID lungs are back. It's all right. They don't happen very often. They just happen once in a while. Anyway, it's a God who is mindful of us, who shares a closeness with his people so much so that he chose to come down and live with us. Come down in the flesh, live with us. And not just live with us, suffer with us. And not just live and suffer, but to die for us, right? That's the God we serve. Let's turn to another verse. Oh, I've got a lot of reading to do. Whoosh. Oh, my next verse is not till verse 49. All right, let's see if I can get this through this. Are you ready? Here we go. All right, y'all thought I was just joking, like, because I want to have fun. I was just trying to stall for time, right? Okay, I will read Alexander Begg. No, sorry. Alasdair. They say it in Scotland, Alasdair. Alasdair Begg. All right. I'll read Alasdair Begg, who is a modern Scottish preacher who said this. There's another Scottish guy I read, Alexander McLaren. Anyway, the greatness of God is revealed in his intimacy with us. Let me read that again. That's good. God's greatness is revealed in his intimacy with us. Really? That's what makes God great? That he's intimate with us? Let's continue. He does know my name and he does know yours. There's a song about that. He knows and cares about the responsibilities that weigh heavy. At this point, I'm going to have someone read the quote for me, all right? Yeah, read this quote. Alasdair Begg, right there. Thank you.
Oh.
Awesome. That's good, huh? That's good. God is so mindful of us, he just doesn't know us by name as Alasdair Begg, which he said something recently I don't agree with. So you don't got to agree with everything from everybody that you quote or that you read after or whatever. It's not a big deal. Y'all are wondering, what did he say? He said he told another Christian, if your friend or relative is having a gay marriage, then it's okay for you to go. I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. I understand where he's coming from. We need to show love, but I get it. To me, you go to a gay marriage, you're saying, I affirm what's going on here. I don't affirm anything about that. I never will affirm anything about that. So if one of my sons divorces, praise God, they're all married to women, okay? If they divorce and want to marry a dude, I'm not going. And I'm going to tell them they're sinning against God and they're going to go to hell if they die in their sin. I'll say it in a loving way, but anyway, I don't agree with Alasdair about everything, but that was a good quote, y'all. God is mindful of us, right? The Christian concept of God's mindfulness and intimacy with us is in opposition to all other religions. What do all other religions say? Is that God or that statue mindful of you? Mm-mm. You got to be mindful of him. You got to serve him. You got to worship him. You got to sacrifice things to him. In the Old Testament, the Jews worshiped the god Molech, who told you need to sacrifice your sons and your daughters on the fire of Molech and have your children pass through the fire of Molech. That didn't mean it was some carnival funhouse where your children just walked through some fun fire. That means your children were burned alive, okay? Every other religion in the world, you have to do something to appeal to God. And you have to hope that you do enough stuff or the right stuff or that you're good enough that that God will accept you. And sometimes even at the very end, Catholicism, you don't know if what you did was good enough or not. But if you're lucky, you'll go to purgatory, spend a few years there, and you'll get up there. All right, in every other religion in the world, every other false religion that's created by man, right? Every other religion in the world says you have to perform to get the attention of that God. Anybody remember 1 Kings chapter 18? Is it 1 or 2 Kings? I'm going with 1 Kings. Do I have it written down? 1 Kings, I was right. Remember what happened in 1 Kings 18? Oh, you do? What? Oh, I thought Jerry was shaking his head. Yes, I thought I'd catch somebody else. You remember when Elijah was having that contest with the prophets of Baal? What did the prophets of Baal do when hour after hour, Baal never brought the fire down from heaven? I think that was hilarious, by the way. Anyway, what'd they do? Wailing, singing, crying, cutting themselves, probably holy laughter, laughing like a dog or whatever. A holy spitting or whatever they call it nowadays in Pentecostal churches and charismatic churches, whatever. They were doing all that. What happened? Nothing. Their God's not real. He can't hear them. But in every other religion in the world, you do things to get God's attention. And if you do the right things or do them enough in every false religion, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses, whether it's Catholic, I don't care what it is, that's the way it is, right? Or if you're the religions that I kind of take to, you do whatever to please your guru, the dude that's over y'all, right? Anyway, don't worry, I left that cult months ago, so we're good. I figured out all that guru wanted to do was have power and control over us, and all he wanted was all our women. Anyway, that's a typical guru for you. Can't find an honest guru anymore. All right. But Jesus says what? What does Christianity says? I'll say, sorry. Really? My own daughter-in-law? It's going to be a long walk home. That's all I know. Oh, no. The baby will get a ride home. That's fine. Okay. What does Christianity say? Christianity says don't worry about trying to appeal to God. You're not good enough to do it. Don't worry about doing enough good works to appeal to God. You're not good enough and you couldn't do enough good works anyway. Don't worry about paying, excuse me. Don't worry about whatever sacrifices you need to do to pay for your sins. Guess what? You can't. The Christianity brings you bad news. Forget all that trying to appeal to God. It's impossible. You can't do it. No one can do it. And this is why I'm so glad I'm a Christian among many things. excuse me. I'm not getting choked up, although this is good stuff. This is just my COVID lungs. Anyway, it hits me about once a month. We don't look to our own performance to see whether we're saved or not. And if you are saved, you don't look to your own performance for your sanctification. Because you cannot be saved without God, and you cannot be sanctified without God the Holy Spirit. So, do you play a part in it? Yeah, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. Of course you play a part in it. God doesn't zap, you're saved, or zap, you're sanctified, although Pentecostals believe that. I haven't had a second working of the Holy Spirit yet. Oops, I'm not sanctified. Oh, darn. Anyway, but yeah, no, God, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. God just doesn't zap you, you're saved. Zap you, you're sanctified, Christian. No, does man play a part in it? Of course man plays a part in it. You have to have faith and you have to repent of your sins. Repent and have faith. You have to do that, guys. And if you're a Christian, God doesn't say, zapped, now that you're a Christian, zap, I made you holy. You read your Bible enough. You prayed a lot this week. Zap, you're holy. God doesn't do that. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. We have a part to play in our salvation and our sanctification. But none of it is possible without God. You can play all the part you want. Without God, it don't matter, right? We don't look to our own performance. Are you glad? If you're not very glad, I worry about you. Because when I hear that, it makes me very glad, right? What did I write here in parentheses? What did I write?
Praise the Lord.
So when I was doing these notes, I was like, I'm glad, right? It's not our performance that counts. Whose performance is it that counts? It's the Lord's. Don't depend on yourself. It's God's performance. Guess what? You want some good news? He performed the work at Calvary. And this is the time of year that we celebrate his birth, right? I don't have to trust in my performance. God has done it for me, right? All right. Go to back to Luke 1, verse 49. That's a good bell. I know I haven't gotten far. I blame myself. I'm sorry. I joked a little too much in the COVID breath. It's my fault because I didn't wear triple masks. Fauci told me. And like a Trumper, I didn't listen. I didn't listen. Fauci just cares about the good of, he just cares about all of us. Fauci cares. Fauci loves me. This I know. And so I got COVID not once, but twice. And so now once or twice a month, this happens, usually at Sunday school, right? Can I tell you this? I'm going to tell you this anyway, whether you said yes or no to that. The concept of God's mindfulness and his intimacy with us, right? I said this just now, right? Okay. Let me say another thing. It's also different from the world in this way. Where do you get your value and your worth today, right? I do this because I know why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because of my kids, my family. I say that to myself every day, man. I'm not kidding. I'm like, man, I could retire. I could retire, but I can't retire, right? I need enough money in case any of my kids ever needs money. And I'm not saying they ever ask it. My kids don't ask for money. They never have asked for money, ever. But I need, you know, so every day I say this to myself, right? The world's concept of value, why do you do what you do? You must find your value and worth within yourself. Haven't you watched the latest Disney movie? God, y'all are behind, bro. If you just watch an episode of Dr. Phil, you'll understand this. Oprah or whatever, right? I don't get to watch Oprah anymore because she has her own channel and I don't get to watch it anymore. And I'm kind of mad, but anyway. You find your value and worth within. Look within, grasshopper. If you're a kid of the 70s, you know what I just said. But anyway, half of y'all laughed and didn't even know what. Look within you, Star Wars. What was his name? The young dude. Look within you, Luke. The force is within you. Feel the force. It's all around you. It's inside you. It's everywhere, right? Of course, that has nothing to do with Hinduism. Not at all. Anyway, the world says we must find our value and our worth within ourselves. In other words, create your own value. That's pretty scary. You want to know something even more scary? Telling a 10-year-old to create your own gender. I'm sorry. If I ran CPS, you would get your kid taken away from you the minute you uttered any words like, I want my kid to find out their own gender. Boop. Your kid's taken away from you. If we can find a good Christian family that wants to adopt, that's where we're sending them. But you're not, because it pained my heart to hear about that dad whose kid's getting taken away and the mom's going to just. And we're not even the dad. Think about that. Anyway, the world says you must create your own value and your worth and find your self-esteem that way, right? Mary says different. You have value and you have worth. It's not found by looking inside yourself. It's not found by your performance. Your value and worth is found in one place and one place only. Not inside, but outside. The world says look inside, Christianity says, look outside. The world says, find it in yourself. Christianity says, find it in a man. Not you, if you're a dude, by the way. Not in your husband, even though he's a man, hopefully. Not in a man, right? You find it in the man God, the man Christ Jesus. That's where your worth and value are found. That's how you find self-esteem. And guess what? That's where you find your gender. What? That's crazy, right? The book says it. In this song, Christianity says different. You have value in your worth. It's found by looking to the love and grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby born in the manger. Like Mary as an individual, that is where you will find value and worth. I know you're like, Brother Chris, you say this all the time. I do. I say it all the time. But I see the culture going so far that way, it's like I want to pull back the other way, you know? So if I oversay that, it's because I see it all around. Don't you see it all around? I know I'm not the only one that sees this stuff, right? Is the time up, brother? I got 1 second? He said 1 minute. If it was 1 second, it would have rang just then. Oh. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, that's good. No, that's good. That's fair. I deserve that. I deserve that totally. All right. I'm sorry, guys. I want to apologize. I took way too long. A part of it, I couldn't help. COVID breath. Part of it was a little bit too much joking. For that, again, see Douglas after the. I can't even apologize without joking. That's pretty bad, guys. That's really bad. But anyway, I think I'm getting old. I think that's the problem. I'm getting old. But anyway, I want you to see this next time. It's going to take us like 5 minutes, but I want you to read ahead. I want you to read ahead because this, I'm looking at my notes, it's not going to take us but 5 minutes, right? So then next time what we're going to do is we're going to look at Zacharias' song. Who is that a picture of? Who? Oh, that's a dude. Sorry. It has a beard. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, the main dude in the picture maybe. Zacharias, y'all. You're just being funny now. It's Zacharias' song, so I put a picture of Zacharias in. Isn't that crazy how that, man, those PowerPoints are blowing my mind, Brother Chris. Now I'm making fun of y'all. So anyway, and that's Zacharias prophesying or praying or singing to God. And we're going to see this next time. So read ahead in Luke 1 and read Zacharias' song. Take your time. Read it slowly. There's good stuff there. And you may have to compare scripture with scripture if you've got a study Bible or you don't have a study Bible, you just have a reference Bible. Compare scriptures with scriptures and see where Zacharias is quoting the Old Testament. It's really, really good stuff, guys. Maybe not as good as trying to figure out why the Mosaic covenant was necessary, but it's still good, guys. Let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer.